Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you. About 20 years ago, my wife and I owned a sporting goods store in the state of Georgia. One of my customers was a young man who had divorced his wife. At the end of the divorce trial, his wife's sister, just 16 years of age, told the young man she would live with him. The couple had been living together for a few months when he told me the story. I asked him if his conscience ever bothered him about the arrangement. He responded, "My what?" I asked him if he ever had any moral regrets about living with a woman out of wedlock. He said he did not. Apparently, he had never been taught about right and wrong, and his conscience did not condemn him for his immoral conduct. How important is it to you that you have a clear or good conscience? The Apostle Peter wrote, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." 1 Peter 3:15 and 16. We must prepare ourselves to give reasons for our belief in God, in His Son, in His Word, and in His Church. But we must defend our beliefs with meekness and fear, not arrogantly or angrily. If we are not kind and generous in our defense of the gospel, we commit sin and are guilty before God as evildoers. If we teach in kindness and in love, we should be able to do so with a good conscience. Defining the word conscience is not the world's easiest task. Someone has called the conscience a God-ordained radar system, which tells us when we have violated our moral values or lived according to them. For example, if you have been taught that drunkenness is morally wrong, when you get drunk, your conscience will almost certainly bother you. On the other hand, if you think drinking alcoholic beverages is morally neutral, when you get drunk, your conscience probably will not smite you at all. Have you ever heard someone say, "Let your conscience be your guide"? My friends, the conscience is not a guide. The conscience is a kind of afterthought. It tells you that you have done right or wrong depending on what you have been taught. Paul provides some insight into the function of the conscience in the following verses. "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the word of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." Romans 2:14 and 15. If you violate your beliefs, your conscience will accuse you. If you live by your convictions, your conscience will excuse you. Have you ever wondered where the conscience is located and how it got there? Paul connected the conscience with our thoughts. Our thoughts come from our minds. So the conscience operates from human minds. And God implanted the conscience in every human being. How could the evolutionists explain the fact that the animals do not possess conscience? If we are descended from the animals, where along the line of our evolutionary development did we discover we had a conscience? The evolutionary theory of man's origin and development makes no sense at all, especially when it pertains to man's conscience. Yet it is almost universally admitted that men and women do possess consciences. The evolutionists cannot explain that phenomenon. Only those who believe we are made in the image of God can offer a reasonable explanation. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.